Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the NFL Week 10 episode of the Bacon Bets Podcast, the halfway point of the road to 272 bets. Not only are we halfway through the regular season with Week 9 of 18 being completed, but we are actually exactly halfway through 272 games as well. There have been 136 games played so far this NFL season. That is the exact halfway point, and we are sitting in profit. Finally got back to our winning ways this past week. Not a great week, but I would say a solid week. 8-6 plus 1.32 units is what we went in week 9. That brings our season to date record to 70 wins, 64 losses, 2 pushes for plus 2.62 units. So we are halfway through the season, sitting above 2.5 units. So I will certainly take that. Let's see if we can make the second half of the season even better than the first half. Let's make that our goal in the second half of the season. Let's have an even better half than what we had in the first half. In terms of my other picks for last week, best bets that I gave out on the podcast, I actually went 4-1. Very good week for best bets. The three totals that I gave out all hit. Let me see if I can bring those up again here. I won on the under 51 between Dolphins, Chiefs, and Germany. I hit the under 43 in Seahawks, Ravens. That was lucky, to be honest, that didn't go over. And then the over 40 between the Buccaneers and Texans was probably one of the best bets of the week, if not the best bet of the week. That was kind of a no-sweat winner. Lost on Cardinals plus 8 against Browns. That went up to like plus 13 or something with when Deshaun Watson got announced as the starter. I still thought it was a great bet. But it turns out Clayton Toon stinks. It turns out the Cardinals might have traded Joshua Dobbs because he was too good, and they want to lose games. But then Chargers minus 3 came through for us on Monday night. So if you took those 5 best bets, you went 4-1. I did give out spread picks instead of the total picks. If you are in pick 'em pools that only do spreads, those went 2-1. So if you took these 3 spread bets that I gave out, actually, if you went with the 5 spread bets, you went 3-2. Because they went 2-1, the 3 that I replaced, that I gave out as replacements for the totals. That was Rams plus 3, lost, Colts minus 2.5, won, Eagles minus 3-1. Eagles might have been the luckiest bet that I hit all year. I did not deserve to win that Eagles spread bet. Had some good luck, some bad luck this week, but certainly I think the Eagles pick was one of the luckier picks. I would have been devastated if it's not the Cowboys. Dak Prescott steps out of bounds on the 2-point conversion, kind of screws them, and it feels like they were like first and goal almost the entire fourth quarter and couldn't punch it in. Teaser of the week hit. I don't know what my record is. I should have went back and looked, but I feel like my teasers are unbelievable so far. If we're week 9, I'm going to guess my teasers are 6-3. Dolphins, we teased up to plus 8.5 against the Chiefs, and we teased the Bills up to plus 9 versus Bengals. And neither of them cover the closing line. Actually, if you teased on the closing line for the Dolphins, you would have lost the teaser. But if you listen to this, but that's why I got to listen on Tuesdays. If you teased based on the line that it was when I recorded last week, you got them at plus 8.5. They lost by 7. So that was a winner. And then Bills up to plus 9 versus Bengals. So that the 6-point teaser hit. And then Survivor, if you listen to my Survivor pick, for those of you who are still alive in a Survivor, I told you Colts, best Survivor pick of the week. And that was relatively sweat-free as well, Colts over Panthers. So overall, a pretty solid week for the road to 272 bets, except for when it comes to my Falcons. I think I had a realization this week with my Falcons, and it's that not only with my Falcons, with my Toronto Blue Jays and my Toronto Maple Leafs, I'm not going to see a championship in my lifetime, and it's something that I need to seriously accept. Now, technically, the Blue Jays won their last World Series when I was 8 months old. I mean, I'm not going to count that. I got to say, I don't remember much of that World Series win from when I was 8 months old, but I'm now 30 years old, almost 31 here next month. So I got, what, another 40 years, 50 years at absolute best on this planet? I don't think I'm going to see a championship. The Maple Leafs are cursed. They're certainly not going to do it, especially not with this iteration of the team that has some of the least amount of heart I've ever seen in a team of all time. The Toronto Blue Jays, they're all-stars like Vlad. They didn't deliver this year. They're going to lose in the playoffs every time they get there. And then we got the Falcons, who, yeah, I didn't expect for them to compete for a Super Bowl this year. I expected them to make the playoffs. We don't have a quarterback. Arthur Smith is one of the biggest morons of all time. Is Jonnu Smith the greatest player of all time, and that's why Arthur Smith finds every single way to get him the ball? Or does Jonnu Smith have some kind of blackmail on Arthur Smith? What is going on? Jonnu Smith threw a pass last week. This week he ran a jet sweep inside the red zone. Now he did score on a tight end screen as well this week, to be fair. But I mean, he wasn't touched. That was all blocking. I could have ran that in. He hands him the ball. He lets him throw. You have Kyle Pitts. Drake London didn't play this past week, but you usually have Drake London. You have Bijan Robinson, and your whole offensive game plan is around finding ways to get your backup tight end the ball as many ways as possible. What are we doing? We lost to Joshua Dobbs on his fifth team in the past 2 months. I've given up on my teams. It's just nothing but frustration and heartbreak day after day, week after week, season after season. I don't even have the one championship that I can look back on and be like, oh yeah, remember that? That was fun. Like, I see teams, like fans of teams who cheer for like the Giants, for example, who are like, oh, this is the worst. At least you have two Super Bowls that you can look back on. Go watch documentaries about the championships that they've won in the past. I don't feel bad for anyone. I don't care how bad the team is that they cheer for now. If you've witnessed a championship in your lifetime, I don't think you can complain anymore. I don't care how bad the team is now. I'm never going to get a championship. Falcons, Blue Jays, or Maple Leafs, you're telling me one of those teams are going to win a championship? Not a chance. Not a chance. They're never going to win. None of them. I don't know what I've done to deserve cheering for these teams. They stink. They're a whole the franchise. For all three of them, they stink. And I have to just start to accept that fact and just stop with expectations. Stop with hope. I'm not even going to see a playoff game this year for the Falcons. The easiest schedule that I've ever seen an NFL team have. They're going to have a losing record and miss the playoffs. I'm just sick of it. This is the NFL Week 10 episode of the Bacon Bets podcast. The road to 272 bets continues. 14 games this week. Four teams are on bye. Let's see if we can string two back-to-back winning weeks in a row, kind of build on our record here. It's the second half of the season, baby. Seemed like we were getting ready for opening kickoff just a couple days ago. You blink your eyes and here we are halfway through. So let's enjoy it. It's the NFL Week 10 episode of the Bacon Bets podcast. The road to 272 bets marches on. Let's go.
No, Lisa. The only monster here is the gambling monster that has enslaved your mother. I call him Gamblor, and it's time to snatch your mother from his neon claws.
More bacon than the pan can handle. 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 Utility man.
I forgot to mention it in the intro, so I will mention it now. I got too caught up ranting about my shitty teams that I cheer for. If you're watching this on YouTube, you can see that I am sporting a mustache, at least the early signs of a mustache. I'm not a big facial hair guy. I do have the early signs of a mustache. I'm doing Movember this year, raising money for men's health. Please, I would ask you to donate to it. I tweeted the link out once. I'm going to kind of put it out there more often as the month goes on. It's kind of weird to ask for donations for Movember at the start of the month because I didn't have a mustache yet. So as the mustache grows, I'm going to become more and more annoying asking for donations. I always, people, especially after winning Wii, people ask if they can tip me. The large majority of the time, I say no. So if you are a person who's thought about tipping me for the free content that I give out and the free picks, or if you have asked to tip me in the past and I've said, hey, don't worry about it, keep your money, take that money and donate it to my Movember page. I'll put the link in the description of both the podcast and the YouTube page, or the YouTube video, and I will also tweet it out again tomorrow. If you go to look at my Twitter page and it's not at the top, just scroll down. I tweeted it out last week. Raising money for men's health. I don't care if it's a $5 donation. I don't know. Even if you can donate $1, I don't know if there is a minimum. But hey, if you're, like I said last week when I tweeted it out, instead of placing that 12-team $5 parlay that's never going to hit, send that $5 to Men's Health on my Movember page. That would be very much appreciated. And let's hope I keep getting winning weeks. And if I get a very good winning week and you guys tail my picks, then I'll feel less guilty for asking for donations. But hey, it's for a great cause. I mean, it's the Movember page. Obviously, I'm not seeing any of this money. I did this 4 years ago, 3 years ago, I decided to do it again. So I'm doing Movember. You will see the next few weeks this mustache get even more and more glorious. All right, let's jump into the NFL Week 10 picks. Not a great week of games this week. I'm going to be honest, after we were kind of spoiled with a lot of great games, or at least a lot of great matchups this past week, the Dolphins, Chiefs, and Eagles are all on bye. So that leaves a lot of bad teams, and the primetime games all stink as well. The six teams playing in primetime this week are the Panthers, Bears, Jets, Raiders, and Broncos, Bills. Yikes. So that starts with Thursday night, Bears, Panthers. I'm going to take the Panthers. I'm going to take the Bears -3.5, -108 at home. I would have laid 3.5 points on the Bears, the version of the Bears that we saw early in the season, but this Bears team has actually gotten a little bit better. They've looked better, at least better comparatively to how they looked at the very start of the season over the past few weeks. Meanwhile, the Panthers stink. Now, the thing with the Panthers that we have to keep in mind is the biggest factor, at least, we have to think of when handicapping games involving the Panthers is whether or not the team they're playing against can run the ball. If the team they're playing against cannot run the ball, they're going to be able to at least slow down that offense, or in the case of the Texans, beat them. It is why I was on the Panthers a couple of weeks ago to beat the Texans as underdogs, and they did exactly that. If they play a team that can run the ball, like last week against the Colts, they're in a lot of trouble because they have the worst run defense in the entire NFL. Let me bring up some stats here for stopping the run. Rush EPA, opponent rush EPA, the Panthers are dead last. Opponent rush success rate, the Panthers are dead last. Opponent yards per carry, the Panthers are 25th. Not dead last, still not good. 4.4 yards per carry teams are getting against them. And actually, I think the Colts actually didn't run the ball that successfully against them this past week, but they still managed to beat them by 2 touchdowns. Let me go ahead and look that up. Should have had this in my notes, but I didn't. Only 2.6 yards per carry. So the run defense did do better against the Colts last week. But once again, I'm going to look for season-long numbers instead of just one-game sample size. And the reason why I bring this up is because the Bears can run the ball. The Bears have successfully run the ball all season. If you look at rush success rate, 6th in the NFL in rush success rate, 7th in the NFL in rush EPA, and yards per carry, they are 6th in the NFL in yards per carry as well, averaging 4.6 yards. So my point in all of this is the Bears, I think, are going to be able to run the ball early and often against this Panthers team. I don't think they've announced if Justin Fields has been playing. From what I've read, it doesn't look like he's going to. Looks like we're going back to Tyson Bagent. But even if the Bears don't have a ton of success offensively, the Panthers' offense stinks really bad. What a tough game for Bryce Young this past week when he threw three interceptions, I think two of them returned for touchdowns against the Colts, and CJ Stroud looked like one of the best rookie quarterbacks in recent memory. So not good for the number one overall pick. I will take the Bears on Thursday Night Football -3.5 and -108. Moving on, we got the final international series, and this one stinks. You got to be a true degenerate if you're going to get up at 9:30 in the morning to watch this one, or even a bigger degenerate if you're over on the West Coast. Do you people on the West Coast watch these Germany games or London games? 9:30 Eastern would be 8:30, 7:30, 6:30 Pacific. Ooh. Yeah, I don't know about that. I would not be waking up for that. I'm actually off this Sunday. I have a rare Sunday off. Will I wake up for this game? Might not. I'll take Colts -1, -110 against the Patriots in Germany. I don't really have a whole lot to say about this game, but the Patriots stink. I continue the same thing I said last week. I don't know if I can bet on the Patriots for the rest of the season, especially, I mean, they're only 1-point underdogs because Kendrick Bourne is sidelined for the rest of the season. Now, Demario Douglas has actually looked pretty solid at receiver for the Patriots, but still, they have no offensive weapons. Even if they can slow down the Colts' offense, I don't know how much they can move the ball down the field and kind of keep this game close. Overall, the Colts have been the better team this season. I'm a little bit higher on the Colts than other people are, or at least the betting market is, because I've bet on them against the spread fairly often this season. I thought the -2.5 line was a bad line last week against the Panthers. 15th in the NFL in net yards per play. Patriots are 22nd. So we're at a neutral field here. Colts are 1-point favorites. I would probably set them as like 2-point favorites, maybe 2.5. Not certainly one of my more confident plays because the Patriots do like to show up occasionally. Hard to completely discount them as long as Bill Belichick's going to be there. But with the point spread being 1, I will take the Colts. -1, -110. 49ers and Jaguars, two teams who are coming off a bye week. I will take the 49ers here. I think this is a classic buy low, sell high spot. Buy low on the 49ers. I think they're about as low as they're going to be all season, losing 3 straight games. Sell high on the Jaguars, who have won 5 straight games. Now, I will say I was calling the Jaguars the biggest frauds in the NFL. They are not that anymore. I don't even think they're in my top 5, my fraud rankings, because their defense is actually very, very good, which ironically is the issue for the 49ers. 49ers have been losing a few games. A lot of people are pointing at the offense and Brock Purdy. You should not be doing that. It's not the offense's fault. It's not Brock Purdy's fault. Now, Brock Purdy has had some ill-timed interceptions in key moments, but overall, Brock Purdy is actually still leading the NFL in adjusted EPA per play amongst all starting quarterbacks. Now, interceptions when you're trying to go down to tie a game or win a game on a game-winning or game-tying drive good? No, they're certainly bad, and they look bad. But a couple of games that he's thrown a couple of bad interceptions, people are like, oh, he's a bad quarterback. No, I told you he was a bad quarterback. Let's relax. Basically a full season now of games, a guy who's still only in the second year and he made like 3 bad throws and everyone wants to throw him under the bus now. But what I was saying was, yes, Jaguars defense is still very good. Their offense, a lot of issues offensively though. They're winning games, but people don't realize that this offense has not really performed well all season. 21st in the league in EPA per play, 25th in third down conversion rate, 26th in red zone touchdown percentage. So the advanced numbers aren't good. They're not converting third downs. They're not converting red zone trips to touchdowns. That's a bad recipe. You can get away with that when you're playing bad teams. It's going to be tough to get away with that playing a team like the 49ers. I mean, still, you want to look at their wins. They beat a Steelers team by 10 points, which that was a sketchy game. They beat the Saints by a touchdown. Did beat up on the Colts. They did squeak out one against the Bills. And then we're going back to games like against the Falcons where, yes, it's 23-7. I thought that game was a lot closer than the final score indicated. They got whooped by the Texans. I mean, I don't know. I'm not calling them frauds anymore, but I don't think they're quite as good as people think. I think this is a sell-high spot for the Jaguars. and a buy low spot here for the 49ers. So I'll take 49ers minus four, minus 110 at Jacksonville. Buccaneers and the Titans. Short spread here. An ugly game. I'll take the Buccaneers minus 1.5 at home. Minus 105 is the juice on this one against the Tennessee Titans. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, thankfully, actually have become kind of an easy team to handicap, which I do respect and appreciate, because there are teams out there that don't, because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have a very clear identity. Sorry, I got a sip tea in your ear. Still recovering from this cold. My throat's not 100% yet. The Buccaneers can't run the ball. They are the worst running team in the entire NFL. So if they take on a good secondary, then bet against the Buccaneers. Because if they take on a good secondary, they don't have a run game to turn to, and they're going to lose. When they face a team with a weak secondary, feel free to go ahead and bet on them, because they're actually a fairly good team through the air, and if a lack of run game won't hurt them if they face a weak secondary. So that begs the question, do the Titans have a good secondary? No, they do not. 25th in the NFL in opponent yards per pass attempt. They give up 6.9 yards per throw. 26th in opponent EPA per dropback. 28th in opponent dropback success rate. So the Buccaneers, Baker Mayfield has been solid this season. Chris Godwin, obviously. Mike Evans. Cade Otton finally had his coming out party this past week. I think Buccaneers are going to be able to throw the ball fine against this Titans team. And I don't know who's starting a quarterback yet for the Titans. Mike Vrabel apparently not impressed with Will Levis, which is weird because I thought he looked leagues better than Ryan Tannehill. Who knows? He could still go with Will Levis. But at the end of the day, the strength of this Titans offense is running the football, and the strength of the Buccaneers defense is stopping the run. So I think this is just a great stylistic matchup for the Buccaneers at home. I would actually set them at probably 2.5-point favorites. So one, with a line at 1.5. I think there's a point of value. If Tannehill's starting, I think I'd set the Buccaneers at like 3.5-point favorites. It's always tough to kind of go over that magic number of three, but at the very, very least, I think we're getting a point of value here. I'll take the Buccaneers minus 1.5, minus 105. Ravens and Browns. I'm just going to keep riding this Ravens train, baby. Ravens minus 6, minus 105 against the Browns. They are continuing to look like one of the best teams in the NFL. I bet on them a couple of weeks ago at, I think, 14-1 to win the Super Bowl. Let me see if I can find that bet really quick here. Now they're all the way down. FanDuel, due to an issue on our site, we will be performing maintenance to address this incident. Perfect. That'll be fun. I'll log into FanDuel tomorrow and all my money will be gone. I think I bet them at 14-1. It might have not even been a FanDuel. It might have been a different book. I'm not going to sit here and look through it. 14-1, 15-1, whatever it was I bet the Ravens at, they are down to, let me look at a different sports book. I think like 8-1 to win the Super Bowl. They have the best net yards per play over their last three games, and two of those three games came against the Lions and the Seahawks. Two solid, solid teams. Futures. DraftKings Ravens are plus 950. If you can get 10-1 or longer, I'd kind of still like a bet on the Ravens. The Ravens are going to have some interesting games coming up, though. Bengals on Thursday Night Football in Week 11. Jaguars December 17th. 49ers on Christmas Day. Oh, the night game on Christmas Day. Ravens 49ers. Mwah! They don't play the Chiefs this year, which is a shame. Regardless, I'm taking them against the Browns because the Browns can't move the football. I know the Browns just beat up on the Cardinals. That was a bad bet on my part. I guess I should have assumed Clayton Tune against the Browns defense wasn't going to result in anything good for the Cardinals. But these two teams have already played once. I don't like putting too much stock into a one game sample size between two teams when they have a rematch in obviously divisional games. But it is worth pointing out. They outgained them 5.4 yards per play to 2.6 yards per play. They beat them 28-3 in Cleveland. Oh, just had a flashback PTSD from hearing 28-3. Oh, the joys of being a Falcons fan. I literally just listing off 28-3 of a completely unrelated game from earlier this year, and I just had PTSD. The Ravens have already dominated this Browns team. Yeah, you can talk about how good the Browns defense is, but the Ravens defense, in my opinion, is just as good. So if the two defenses wash out, which defense would you rather back? The Ravens, who are being backed by Lamar Jackson, trying to put together another MVP resume, or the Browns offense, which is 30th in yards per play, 28th in EPA per play, and absolutely stink. I will take the Ravens. As long as it stays underneath a touchdown, Ravens, 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 -6, -105. What do we got next? We got the first total bet of the week. It is the Texans. It is the Bengals. I'm going to go over 46.5. How have I been doing on totals this year? Let me do a little side note here. I feel like I've been absolutely crushing totals this year. No big deal. Especially weird because the first three iterations of the Road to 272 bets, total bets were my weakness. This year, on totals, I am 16-10-1 for plus 4.71 units. Not as good as I would have thought, though. I mean, 16-10 is solid. I'm 46-45-1 on spreads, 8-9 on money lines. Interesting. Texans versus Bengals, over 46.5. I think the Bengals, I think I'm just going to bet overs in their games. I know it didn't hit for us this past week against the Bills. It was there, though. It was on track at halftime. I think there was a drive that should have been a touchdown that resulted in a field goal. Another one that should have been a touchdown that was a Dalton Kincaid fumbled on like the 15. Just some weird things happened in the second half that kept it from going over. But at the end of the day, this Bengals team is going to be an over team because Joe Burrow is officially back. Two back-to-back unbelievable performances now. Bengals offense is firing on all cylinders. Their defense, still, I do not have faith in whatsoever. 27th in opponent yards per pass attempt and opponent dropback success rate. Now they got to play C.J. Stroud, who has been lighting some teams up. I think C.J. Stroud and the Texans are going to have a good game offensively. I think the Bengals will have a good game offensively because also the Texans' pass defense has not done well. This is the exact same handicap as last week with the Texans and the Buccaneers when I took the over. Two good passing offenses against two bad passing defenses, and the over in that game hit easily. So I'm just going to bet the over in another Texans and Bengals game. Texans Bengals over 46.5 -110. One more and then we're going to take a quick break. Saints against the Vikings. I will go Saints -2.5 -110 in this one. Josh Dobbs, feel good story of the NFL right now. People can't stop talking about it. He beat the Falcons, though. How could he do that? He didn't even know names on of his teammates. Wow, this guy's a great quarterback. Wow, this guy deserves to be starting quarterback in the NFL. Oh, wait, I forgot. He was terrible in Arizona after the first 3 weeks. He's 27th in the NFL in adjusted EPA per play. That's one spot below Desmond Ridder, two spots below Jimmy Garoppolo. No, Joshua Dobbs is not a good quarterback. That game was more of a game of the Falcons royally fucking up than Joshua Dobbs doing anything amazing. So don't buy into the Joshua Dobbs hype. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. The NFL loves a good feel-good story. People buy into it. They think this guy's going to be amazing. Don't do it. Don't buy into the hype. Dobbs now has to face a Saints secondary that is 8th in dropback EPA, 4th in dropback success rate, 5th in opponent yards per pass attempt. So he has a very tough challenge in front of him this week against New Orleans. It is not going to go well. I do not have faith in Josh Dobbs, and I do not have faith in this version of the Vikings without Kirk Cousins, and people are going to buy into the Josh Dobbs hype and bet on the Vikings, and it's not going to go well. Also, I've been waiting all season in terms for it better. I've been waiting all season for the Saints offense to start clicking. Obviously, I wish they never started clicking as a Falcons fan. But as a sports bettor, I've been waiting all season for the Saints offense to start clicking, and they have. I don't know if it's just play calling has changed or Derek Carr finally hit a stride. But they are getting 5.7 yards per play over their last three games. That's the 7th best mark in the NFL over that span. And they're finally scoring points. So I think now is the time to invest in some Saints futures, possibly. Saints -2.5, -110 against the Vikings. All right, I believe we are halfway through the picks. I will take a quick break and I'll be right back to break down the rest of my picks for NFL Week 10 action.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, let's keep things moving here. Next up, we got the Packers and the Steelers. And I have vowed to continue to bet against the Steelers because this team stinks. I hate the Steelers. They do this every single year. And this year, I even said, in week one, I'm not falling for this trap. The Steelers always cover and sometimes win in games. They have no business doing so. I'm going to bet them week one against the 49ers. They, of course, got their doors kicked in. They got blown out. And I said, all right, this team stinks. I'm going to bet on them against them every single week. And I do, and then I lose. There is no way they should have won and covered as favorites against the Titans on Thursday Night Football last week, and they did. Even sure, you could say they win, but like to cover the spread as a three-point favorite, I mean, that's just kind of the way the scoring worked out. But that, they did not play well enough to cover that spread. They're once again 3-point home favorites, this time to the Packers, and this time I will once again bet on the Packers. I'll bet against a team playing against the Steelers. I'll fade the Steelers. I'll take the Packers plus three, minus 110. I'd recommend not tailing me on this play. I'd recommend going ahead and take the Steelers, because I don't even know what to say. This team's not even good. This team sucks. 27th in the NFL in net yards per play, minus 0.9. The Packers, while ugly offensively, their defense has carried them at times throughout the season. They're actually 14th in net yards per play. I was kind of surprised by that when I did the net yards per play numbers this evening. The Steelers, 30th in the NFL in EPA per play offensively. Only the Jets and the Giants have a worse offense than the Steelers so far this season. Defensively, their straightforward numbers like opponent yards per play and all that stuff aren't good. Their EPA and success rate numbers are good, so I don't really know what to think about that. But at the end of the day, the Steelers team should not be good, but they find ways to win games. But I'm not going to bet based on that. I'm married to the numbers, and I hold a grudge against teams who continue to make me lose bets, even though I deserve to win them. So, Packers plus three, minus 110. I don't have a huge breakdown for this game. Just fuck the Steelers. I hate them so much. Packers plus three, minus 110, and I fully expect to lose that game. The Falcons and the Cardinals. My Falcons taking on the Cardinals. I ran about the Falcons at the start of the show, and what do? I go ahead and bet on the Falcons. But I mean, come on. Have the Falcons looked bad at times this year? Yes. Is Arthur Smith obsessed with giving Jonnu Smith the football like he's the greatest football player of all time, our backup tight end? Yes. Do they have anyone who can play the position of quarterback at a competent level? No. The Taylor Heineke looks like he's going to start again this week. Last week, he didn't really do anything that impressive. But still, the sports books are setting the Falcons as a pick'em against the Cardinals. I mean, I didn't want to bet on the Falcons this week. I thought I was going to be able to get the Cardinals at like plus 3.5 or something. Pick'em? I know Kyler Murray's starting this week, but I mean, how much faith do you have in Kyler Murray, a guy who didn't look good the last season that he played up until when he got hurt? Now he's taking a month off. When do starting quarterbacks who are hurt for a half a season, they come in halfway through the year, like light it up their first start? Never. Not only that, if it's ever going to happen, if it's ever going to be a quarterback who can come in halfway through a season and look good in his first start, it's going to be a quarterback who studies film. Kyler Murray's already been out of this guy who doesn't watch film. He relies solely based on his athleticism. I actually think they might, well, maybe not Clayton Tune. If they still had Joshua Dobbs, I think they're actually a better team than Joshua Dobbs, which goes back to my last point. They might have traded Joshua Dobbs because he was too good and winning too many games for them. I think Kyler Murray is confirmed to start. Who cares, man? Kyler Murray's not good. Yeah, Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray to start Sunday if no set. But who cares? What were his numbers last year? Kyler Murray in 2022, he went 3-8 last year. Completed just 66.4% of passes. 215 yards per game. He had a QBR 53.6. I mean, he's... Kyler Murray's done. Falcons minus 108. I mean, I don't know how they're going to do it, but come on, a pick 'em against the Cardinals? Come on, a pick 'em? A pick 'em? They aren't that bad. The Falcons are top 10 in the NFL in net yards per play. Ninth in the NFL in net yards per play at plus 0.3. They turn the ball over. They make stupid decisions. They can't get the ball in the end zone when they get to the red zone. But at the end of the day, they're not a terrible team. They break my heart every week. They're not a terrible team. Falcons, minus 108 as a pick 'em against the Cardinals. Lions, Chargers. I will take the Lions minus 1.5 off their bye week, minus 110 against the Chargers. These two offenses are very, very similar. So I think the two offenses actually wash. It's kind of a wash for the two offenses. Which defense is better? In my opinion, the Lions by a long shot. The Chargers have a lot of defensive issues this year. If you want to even look at opponent EPA per play to keep things simple, the Lions are 7th in the NFL in opponent EPA per play. The Chargers are 29th. That's going to be the difference maker in this one is defense, and I trust the Lions way more than I trust the Chargers. The Chargers give up a ton of yards through the air. I think Jared Goff's going to have a big day as well. Lions minus 1.5 off the bye week, minus 110 against the Chargers. Don't have much more to say about that one. Cowboys against the Giants. Cowboys minus 15.5 against the Giants. I bet on the Giants as my upset pick last week. Hey, maybe if Daniel Jones stayed in the game, we had a shot. He did not. Tommy DeVito came in. Tommy DeVito might be the worst quarterback to ever take a snap in the NFL. And that's not an exaggeration. He might be the worst quarterback to ever take a snap. I think they signed Matt Barkley last week. So it's either going to be Tommy DeVito again or Matt Barkley. You could set the Cowboys at minus 30. I think I'd lay the points at the Cowboys. And I will say, I've been on the Cowboys a lot this week or a lot this season. I actually thought they deserved to beat the Steelers this past week. And they might not be frauds. They've actually played very well compared to how they were playing at the start of the year when they were winning games they didn't deserve to win. Or at least winning by a ton of points in games that should have been a lot closer. I'll give credit where credit's due. I don't see how the Giants can keep this game even relatively close. I mean, the Cowboys beat them by like, what, 20-something, 30-something points in week one with Daniel Jones there and like the hype of at home. It was at East Rutherford. I remember I was there. Now it's in Dallas with Tommy DeVito or Matt Barkley starting. You couldn't set the spread high enough. I'll take the Cowboys minus 15.5, minus 110. I'd take them a minus 30. Seahawks, Commanders. I will bet on the Seattle Seahawks minus 6, minus 115 against the Commanders. I know the Seahawks just got their doors blown off against the Ravens, but I still like the Seahawks team quite a bit, and I do not like this Commanders defense. Specifically, I think the Seahawks are going to torch the Commanders secondary. The Commanders ranked 29th in opponent dropback EPA, 28th in opponent yards per pass attempt. They give up 7.2 yards per throw. I know Geno Smith has not looked great this season, but at the end of the day, he can get the job done, especially against weaker defenses. Maybe not against the Ravens, but against teams like the Commanders. They are now at home. They return home after playing in Baltimore last weekend. I like the Seahawks. I don't see what the Commanders have to offer. The Commanders are going to be able to beat bad teams. For some reason, they have the Eagles number this year. But I think this is a bad matchup for Washington in the state of Washington. Washington, D.C. heads to the state of Washington, and I think falls short. Anything under a touchdown, I'll take the Seahawks. I go to the minus 6, minus 115. Sunday Night Football. I'm sorry that I don't have any bigger underdogs this week, but I'm on a ton of favorites. So I'll take this as an underdog. I got to follow my rule, at least one underdog pick a week. Raiders plus 110 against the Jets. I know it's not sexy. It's not a big underdog. It's what I got this week. Raiders plus 110. I bet against the Raiders. I think just 2 weeks ago I said I wasn't going to bet on the Raiders again this season. But after what I saw, what the Raiders did against the Giants this past week, this Raiders team might actually be completely different without Josh McDaniels. Because not only is Josh McDaniels a bad head coach, his players very clearly hated this guy. I don't think I've ever seen players smoke cigars like they won the Super Bowl the week after their head coach was fired. A lot of times you see like coaches like who like, I think this is something that you got to consider in the future when coaches get fired is how much did their players hate them? if they like them, if they like their head coach and they're like sad about him being fired, then maybe don't bet on them. But if they hated their head coach, apparently the Raiders played free. Like they were playing out there looking like they were having fun. This might be a different team without Josh McDaniels. If they just go out and have some fun and play loose, they could beat this Jets team. I know this Jets team obviously very good defensively, but the Jets offense is one of the worst in the NFL. 31st in the NFL in EPA per play. Jets offense absolutely sucks. It was shocking to me that people thought they could actually be a half-decent team after a few wins, and then we saw on Thursday or on Monday night against the Chargers what this Jets team is. So at home on Sunday Night Football, sure. Give me the short underdog. Maybe I'm falling for the Colts trap last year where Jeff Saturday took over and they won one game. They're like, oh, maybe they're just playing loose and having fun and maybe we should bet in the Colts. And then they didn't win another game the rest of the season. I could be falling for the same trap with the Jet or with the Raiders. It's two bad teams. Give me the home underdog. I don't know what else to tell you. And then Monday Night Football, the Broncos Bills. I'm going to do the same thing I tried to do with the Bills last week. It did not work out for us, and that is bet the over because both of these teams are good over teams. I know that is kind of surprising to say about the Broncos, but the Broncos, their offense actually not as bad as some people think. 12th in the NFL in yards per play. And if you take out plays involving turnovers, because they have had issues, if you take out plays involving turnovers, they're 11th in EPA per play. Bills offense, obviously third in both those stats. So both offenses very good. Both defenses bad, especially the Broncos defense. Except for when they play the Chiefs, the Broncos defense is good. Everyone else just absolutely crushes them. They're dead last in opponent EPA per play by a mile. I think the Bills and Josh Allen at home put up a ton of points in this one. I think the Broncos can put up enough points to contribute to the total. I'll sit back and root for points on Monday Night Football this week. I think the Bills are just an over team. I think I'm going to just be betting a lot of overs when it comes to the Bills the rest of the season. That's how I'm going to... Because, to be honest, I was a guy who everyone was saying the Bills might just be a bad football team, and I was like, no, they're just having bad luck and variance, and hey, that might still be correct, but... There might just be something wrong with this team. I don't know exactly what it is about the Bills, but even offensively, they move the ball, but they just, like, top of ill-timed turnovers. It's like every time they like get some momentum or they're in the opponent's zone, it's just someone fumbles, Josh Allen throws a bad pick. It's just, if they run 60 plays in a game, it's like 55 of them are good, but then they have five just back-breaking plays. I'll just take the over, and I'll take the over in Bills games until I can figure out exactly what this team is. So there you have it. Those are my picks for Week 10. I will give you my best bets, my teaser, and my survivor here in a second, but I will recap all my picks first. Starting with Thursday Night Football, we got Bears -3.5, -108 against the Panthers. We got the Colts -1, -110 against the Patriots. 49ers -3, -110 against the Jaguars. Buccaneers -1.5, -105 against the Titans. Ravens -6, -105 against the Browns. Texans, Bengals over 46.5, -110. Saints -2.5, -110 against the Vikings. Packers +3, -110 against the Steelers. Falcons -108 as a pick'em against the Cardinals. Lions -1.5, -110 against the Chargers. Cowboys -15.5, -110 against the Giants. Seahawks -6, -115 against the Commanders. Raiders +110 against the Jets. Broncos, Bills over 46.5, -110. I think I'm only backing what? Three underdogs this week? Yeah, let's take a look-see. For underdogs this week, I'm backing the Packers. Falcons are pick'em. And the Raiders. I'm on two underdogs this week. Yeah, that might end in disaster. Oops. My best bets for this week are Bucks -1.5 against Titans, Ravens -6 against Browns, Falcons pick'em against the Cardinals, Saints -2.5 against the Vikings, and Seahawks -6 against Commander. So five best bets: Bucks, Ravens, Falcons, Saints, Seahawks. My teaser of the week. We're going Ravens from -6 down to a pick'em against the Browns. Crosses the key number of 3. I mean, 6 is kind of a key number. with how long extra points are now. So I'll take that down to a pick 'em against the Browns, and then I'll take the Cowboys from -15.5 to -9.5. I guess 14 and 10 are tertiary key numbers, but I mean, if the Giants can somehow keep that game within single digits, I'd be shocked. So Ravens pick 'em versus Browns, Cowboys -9.5 versus Giants is my 6-point teaser of the week. And Survivor, I didn't actually, you know what, look at it, to be completely honest. I don't have it in my notes. So let me just live on air here give you guys a Survivor team for people who are still alive. I don't actually hate the Bears on Thursday night as a Survivor pick. If you want to get crazy and take the Bears, you're never going to have another chance to take the Bears. If you're ever going to take the Bears, it's going to be on Thursday Night Football against the Panthers. Other than that, Bucks at home to the Titans. Falcons against the Cardinals. You got some good picks, but you have no obvious ones this week. Well, except for the Cowboys. I mean, if you have the Cowboys, take the Cowboys. If you still have the Cowboys left, take the Cowboys. Wouldn't take the Bills right now with the way they're playing. If you have the Cowboys, now is the time to use them. They're not going to be bigger favorites again for the rest of the year. Take the Cowboys. If you want a little bit more of a risky pick, I will say I'll say the Bucks. I'll say the Bucks over the Titans. Actually, smaller spread than the Bears, but I really like the Bucks against the Titans this week. So Buccaneers. Buccaneers for Survivor pick this week. This has been the NFL Week 10 episode of the Bacon Bets Podcast. Please donate to my Movember page. I'll have it in the description. Please like this video. Subscribe to the Bacon Bets YouTube channel. Rate and review the podcast. All that good stuff. Gambler bless. Good luck to all of your picks this week. The road to 272 bets continues. We are halfway through. It's time to enter the second half of the journey. Thank you all so much for watching. I'll talk to y'all next week.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.